Good morning. This is Right Here, Right Now, brought to you by Right Choice Services. At Right Choice Services, we help people write the book that they've always wanted to write. And I'm your host, Tim Morrison. At Right Here, Right Now, we interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals about their businesses and how writing is a part of their business. I'm always joined in the studio. I have to be joined in the studio by Kevin Finn, who is our producer and co-host. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Tim. How are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm winging it.
Hey, you're doing a great job.
Well, so far, so good. When I say I'm winging it, I left my opening script at home, and so now we got to see if I still really know what I say every show, and I've been saying it for almost 2 years.
You still got it.
I got it.
You got the gusto.
Yeah. So, what's new in your world?
Nothing much, just working. Been traveling to Auburn a lot to visit with my girlfriend. The Falcons are going to the NFC Championship game, which I am stoked about.
I heard that ugly rumor.
That ugly rumor, yeah. You're not a Falcons fan, are you?
And we've got another person in the studio today. Tell us about him.
Yes, we are training up Taylor Kelly. He's learning how to be a producer and doing basically everything here at Business Radio X. He's going to be the utility player here for BRX.
We need those.
Exactly. He's been heading up our new Twitter. So he's getting.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to be have all our social media intact and actually not be old people anymore when it comes to the social media world. So.
Oh. That's shocking. Here we go. Okay, well, today's show, we're talking about the powerful difference between the right word and the almost right word. That comes from a quote by Mark Twain, who said, "The difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and the lightning bug." I just love that concept. I believe that the guests I have with me today understand and practice that powerful difference between the right word and the almost right word. I have in the studio with me Ty Young and Ken Crossan, and I'm going to begin with Ty, because we always have a ladies first practice here. Ty Young owns Ty Media Group, which helps budding entrepreneurs leverage their business to achieve real success. And no doubt that using the right word or right words in marketing and branding, very critical. Ty has also written a few books. So, good morning and welcome, Ty.
Hello, world.
Here we are, aren't we?
Yes, here we are. Thank you for having me, Tim.
It's a delight to have you here.
I'm really grateful.
So, tell us about Ty Media Group.
Wow. Ty Media Group, basically, our goal every day is to help small businesses to innovate. You know, they're always on a one-track mind, you know, and they're never looking to, well, they rarely look to diversify their revenue stream portfolio. So they are always struggling financially. And what I attempt to do is sit down with that small business owner and to ask them a few questions about how they're bringing in revenue and what type of products that they currently have, or if they even have any products. Usually they have services. Mm-hmm. They're usually professional services companies. Mm-hmm. However, they have not tapped into, like, what you do, you know, publish books and so forth. And, you know, at the end of the day, the way to survive is having more than one way to bring in revenue, you know, in more than two ways. I say have 10 ways to bring in money, you know.
Absolutely.
So at the end of the day, for me, it's great to see a small business survive, you know, well, actually thrive, not only survive.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that small business owner's perfect example. I'm currently publishing a book called Nonprofit Survival Guide, you know, Nonprofit mm-hmm. Organization Survival
sure.
Guide.
Sure.
And this particular book is being published for an accounting firm who's looking to tap into the nonprofit industry. They have clients in the nonprofit mm-hmm. field. However, they want to expand their client base. And usually, of course, we know you have to teach, well, out-teach your competition. So with this particular client, we're helping them to out-teach their competition by publishing this book that assists their prospects in learning more about the nonprofit process. So basically, overall, Ty Media Group comes in and helps you to have a new, fresh ideas, basically. Mm-hmm. That's our goal, to open your eyes to fresh ideas using your current knowledge or current expertise in doing that.
What I like about your answer is, you know, I introduced you, and on your website it talks about marketing and branding, but you don't do it in the typical way, do you? By obviously, I mean, I'm sure you talk about advertising, you talk about this, that, and the other thing, but you really are looking for what else can they be doing.
Absolutely. I consider myself as a business innovation specialist.
Okay.
As opposed to a marketing person. I mean, marketing is a part of what I do, is a part of business innovation. However, I believe that marketing has gotten a bad name, mm-hmm. especially since social media and all these other products are available to the average individual. So my little brother, who's 12, he does marketing. You know what I mean? So, but that's okay. You know, uh-huh. I understand. However, businesses need to innovate and use those marketing tools to take themselves to the next level, as opposed to, oh, I need marketing. No, you need innovation and those products that you've innovated or what have you. You know, those mm-hmm. are the products that need marketing, or those are the services that need marketing.
You practice what you teach?
Yes, absolutely. You know, eye level is bi-level. So I attempt to stay in the eyes of every, you know, prospect.
You are just full of statements, aren't you? I like that. Eye level is bi-level.
I mean, you know, I'm 41 on January the 5th.
No way. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
She's lying. She's lying.
No, honestly, January the 5th, I turned 41. And I've been in business for myself since I was 17. So I have, you know, I think I have a lot of experience mm-hmm. in
Well, part of the reason I challenged you with that question is you gifted me with a couple of your books. And so you do practice what you teach, mm-hmm. right? You don't just do media. You write the books. You do this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, well, you know, I always say I'm not a writer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm definitely not an editor. Don't read my books. No, I'm just kidding.
Tim's an
editor.
But I am.
Well, that's how we met. I needed someone who knows what they're doing. But anyways, I don't consider myself an author or a writer. I use books as a marketing tool mm-hmm. to position my clients or myself as an expert. As a matter of fact, I recently published a book on IOTA, interest on lawyers' trust accounts, for another accounting firm who's looking to take over the Florida market for attorneys. He currently manages attorneys' IOTA accounts mm-hmm. in the state of Florida, and he's looking to expand that. So he has clients like Eddie Farah, who's a large attorney in North Florida, and some other guys, but he really wanted to expand in that market. So I said, well, why don't we publish a book first? That's one of our tools on the interest on lawyers' trust accounts. And he's like, wow, I never thought about that. I was like, me either, until today, you know. So, uh-huh. you know, but again, these tools will position him as an expert in that particular area. So that's pretty much, you know, just to give you an example of mm-hmm. how I work and why I do this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the biggest mistake that you see small companies make when it comes to all this media and advertising?
I think, you know, the lack of building credibility for yourself. You know, we're constantly selling, and pushing, as opposed to pulling. And when you build credibility for yourself and you publish products that positions you as the authority in that particular area, then you don't have to push so much and spread yourself so thin. You're able to target your specific market and pull in those prospects. You know, so you're not working too hard and spreading yourself too thin where you're not bringing in the revenue that you're looking to bring in. And the bottom line with these businesses, they're not bringing in the money, you know, and the truth, I believe they truly should diversify their revenue stream portfolio at the end of the day. So it's basically what we said earlier, diversification is their, you know, what's hindering them.
What other kinds of things do you offer in terms of being able to diversify? Obviously, there are books. Are there other challenges you set before your clients?
Absolutely. We also develop information portals in that specific industry. So if you're an attorney and you specialize in bankruptcy, our goal is to develop an information web portal on bankruptcy, where you may have pay-per-view videos, pay-per-view downloads, download audio downloads, MP3s, or special reports that you may be selling to other attorneys who are not as they're not really in that field, or they're looking to tap into that field, but you're an expert, but they're willing to pay for special reports on that particular web portal. So our goal is to create additional revenue streams using the web, online technology, in addition to, of course, newsletters pertaining to that specific industry on that site, where people will pay, $12 a year for a monthly newsletter pertaining to a specific area, not just some random product or social media. You can find that all for free. Mm-hmm. But for an Interest on Lawyers Trust Account newsletter, an attorney would pay that. Oh, $12, sure. I spent that at the strip club last night. No, just kidding.
That's more like 50, right?
Right. So, those are some of the tools that
How do you develop those things then? Do you just know those portals are there? We create this. Who finds the stuff to put in there?
Good question. Usually I have a research team who they assist me in researching this particular content, or I'd send that particular client a list of things that we should search. Mm-hmm. And that person would say, okay, this is a good website. This is a good website, because they're the expert, not me. Mm-hmm. So they would give me a list of areas or websites or what have you to research, and have my team research that area. And we'd pull in all the content and organize it and send it to the editor or whoever, would edit the content. So we'd pre-edit, and we would have a post-editor for that particular content.
So your company does all the work?
Well, we use virtual contractors, you know, to do the work for us, not all in-house. I've been there.
But what I'm saying is that if I were to have you work with my company, I don't have to be searching.
No, yes. I hate to use the word phrase one-stop shop. It's so, cheesy or whatever, but we're kind of a one-stop shop. Yeah. for all your business
critical.
Innovation needs. Yeah.
I think that from my perspective, that's what sets you apart from the others that I've interviewed on topics like this, or that I'm aware of, that you just, it's there. I can go to you and sit back and wait for the stuff to come forward to look at and pass judgment on, yes, no, maybe, right?
Yes, yes.
So what role does writing play? I tell everybody that's going to be on the show, I'm going to ask you that question. What role does writing play in your business?
Again, I don't consider myself a writer.
Mm-hmm.
I use writing tools to increase my revenue stream portfolio, if you will. I meet a lot of talented writers who I bring on my team, to support what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's what we should do. There are people who consider themselves as writers because the print-on-demand system is out there, but you're not a writer. I don't mean it in any way. No harm or whatever, but use writers to assist you in that area so that you're diversifying their revenue stream portfolio and giving more opportunities to other gifted, and talented people. I don't believe in doing everything. Those designs you see on my book covers, I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
This graphics team, they've worked with me for about 6 years, and this guy makes minimum $95,000 a year off of our products.
Wow.
As a graphic designer. Uh-huh. So that's because I'm not trying to design my own books. That cover would look horrible if I were to design it. That's not my talent.
I understand
basically.
That.
Yeah.
I understand that. How do you approach, we say out there that everybody should write a book. In fact, I market my own company by saying there's a book inside of each one of us, or that I want to help you write that someday book, that book you've always said I'm going to write someday, because I believe we can pull it out of people. Do many of your clients go, I have to write a book?
Yes, they freak out when they hear write. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I know we're not all Tims, mm-hmm. with writing experience, but it's such a great credibility builder mm-hmm. that you have to almost force yourself to get into that in that environment, the writing environment. As a matter of fact, you know, not to boast or anything, I own 12 book publishing companies. And the reason why I have 12, I have AtlantaBookPublishing.com, OrlandoBookPublishing.com, Tampa Book Publishing, Los Angeles, New York, whatever. But I use those as pull marketing strategies to pull in prospects from those areas or markets. Now, what shocks me, I get so many questionnaires, you know, from those websites, and 90% of them, those people want to write about their childhood stories. That's not my area. I only publish books on ways to bring in revenue for your company, or, you know, specific industries or what industry specific books, basically. But some of those guys are the people, they're business owners who are wasting time trying to write their childhood, you know, whatever. And that's okay, but your business is suffering right now. Why don't we, I send a letter back to them stating, well, in the future, if you're looking to increase your revenue stream portfolio or use books as a way to bring in more revenue, we are able to support you. However, here's a list of other companies that could support what you're doing. I don't take that business. It's just not my area, you know.
I understand.
Every chapter, every week would be a different, you know, topic, because it's an emotional piece. I'm not healthy enough for that, you know.
So, Ty, what would you say to, hypothetically, a small business, because they're not making a lot of money and they're trying to do all this stuff themselves, what would you say to them to why they should hire you and how you're going to make them money? Because I know they're really tight and they think they can do it all by themselves, and I think that hinders a lot of small businesses.
Well, first of all, I would say, well, don't hire me yet. Let's sit down and talk about your goals as a whole. What's your goal? What are you looking to, you know, I guess, what is your future goal? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to do? So, first of all, basically, get that list of those list of things that you're really focused on. You know, I want to bring in more money. You know, I want to position myself as an expert. I need more credibility in the marketplace. So those are the things there are people who say, I don't really want to make money. I just want to, okay, well, you're talking to the wrong person. Like, I can't help you, literally, you know. So, but I would say for them to find a team of college students, possibly, who could support their goals once we lay out, you know, the details of their goals. I don't know your future. You know, I can't tell you what you ought to do. All I can do is pinpoint your talent and what you're gifted at. And I would suggest you may want to focus in this area. You know, there are people who aren't great writers or great readers, so, but they can speak well on radio. Or I always suggest for people who are very afraid of writing to record it.
Absolutely.
Let's just record everything in your own voice, your own conversation. You don't have to sound like Mr. Magoo, you know, or whoever.
Right.
Just speak from your heart, and people will receive that once they hear
speak. And if they do that talking, then they can get a voice recognition software program that will type out a transcript and then go from there.
Load those things on iTunes, market them to your specific market or industry that you're attempting to target, not the whole world. You're going to get those comments on YouTube, you know, bleep, you know. Those people are just bored. So, yes, specificity.
Do you have a book that you turn to look at, to guide you, to boost your energy, to get you refocused?
I do, and this may sound really crazy. It's the Bible. Honestly, I read Proverbs like every week. You know, why? Because it helps me to keep me focused. You know, I know that my only enemy is me. When I start fearing, it's in my head, or when I, whatever problems I'm having with going to the next level in my business, it's something that I need to deal with myself, you know, pertaining to myself. So not to get all, you know, whatever, but usually the Bible. If your own hand offends you, cut it off, you know. So those are some of the...
Ouch. But yeah,
but
I know that one.
You understand what I'm saying. Like, you know, like, Ty, this is a Ty problem, not a whatever problem, you know. So I was almost late to your show. I wanted to kick myself like 12 times this morning. Like, oh my God, you know, you put on the alarm clock and you went back to sleep, you idiot, you know. So I'm talking to myself all the way here. Of course, I made it on time. Didn't get a ticket. Didn't crash. You were smart. You were smart. I wasn't. So, you know, that's kind of the Bible, honestly. Okay. I use it all the time because it's one of those things. It's outside of man, if you will. It's like in another zone.
Sure,
so I'm able to, like, go somewhere, you know, some real knowledge, not all this other man-made stuff that I write, you know. Okay. So, yeah.
So if folks want to be in touch with you, how's the best way to contact you?
I would say the best way is to go to my website, which is www.tymediagroup.com.
And that's
mediagroup.com.
Okay.
That's the best way.
That's
good. And email me there.
Well, I am assuming you're willing to kick back and just wait for a while I interview our other guests, and then maybe we can get all of us into a conversation.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
Well, our second guest for today is Ken Crossan, and he is an attorney of the law offices of Kenneth P. Crossan. Is that correct?
That's close enough.
Okay,
yes.
And you practice law for individuals, families, and small businesses. And I had mentioned in the opening that, you know, as I had shared with both of you when I sent the information out, we're looking at just the right word. Mm-hmm. And Ty's been telling us about just the right word from a marketing perspective. First, let me say welcome, Ken. It's so good to have you here.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Good. And just tell us about the Kenneth P. Crossan Law Firm. What sets it apart? What do you do? You know, I read your website. You do all of these things. What do you like to do?
Well, you know, I do things such as personal injury litigation. I do civil litigation generally for families and individuals. But the focus of my practice really is working with small businesses to help them identify their legal needs and to satisfy those legal needs. Things such as contract review, corporate compliance review to make sure that that the principals of businesses are shielded from personal liability for corporate debts. You know, working to enforce agreements with vendors and with customers and with former employees.
Former employees,
if a key employee leaves and then sets up a competing business in violation of a non-compete, that's a big issue for a lot of these small businesses where, you know, you may have two or three people who are the core of the business, and one of these people decides to go off and start his own business and compete with the original business in violation of an agreement. So that could devastate the business that was left. So enforcing those sorts of agreements is essential in some cases to the survival of these businesses. My goal is to help the owners and the executives and the businesses themselves be as profitable and as successful as possible. I mean, because, you know, within the first 5 years, the statistics say that about 80% of small businesses fail.
Mm-hmm.
And while there are a lot of reasons for that happening, and I can't help all of them, a lot of these problems come from cash flow constrictions that arise because customers decide not to pay. You know, a lot of these small businesses are dependent on one or two or three large accounts. And if they get stiffed on a contract with a large account, I've had many clients come in who are, you know, it's literally a life or death situation for their business, resolving the matter they've brought in. What that's led me to see is that for a lot of these small businesses, I need to get in there early before there's a problem, help them draft their contracts advantageously so that when they do get into a conflict with a customer, with a vendor, they're on the soundest legal footing they can be.
Okay. Two questions come to my mind as you're answering there. One is, what shocks most of your new clients when you start talking? What did they – I never thought about that. Let's go with that one first.
Oh, well, I can just give a real tiny example. I had a client come to me recently, ask for help drafting a lease. They wanted to lease out some equipment to another party, to just use some equipment that they need, that they use in their business, but that they don't use all the time. So they wanted to create another revenue stream by leasing it out. And they just asked me to help them draw up a lease. And when I sat down and talked to them about it, I said, you know, I can help you do this, and I can help you draw up the lease, but what you really need to look at is all the policies and the procedures that you use in doing your due diligence to make sure that you're leasing this equipment out to somebody who's going to use it properly, is going to be properly bonded or properly insured, and is going to be able to shield you from liability in case they go off and do something and hurt somebody else. And
that was an eye-opener, wasn't it?
It was, because it was just something they had not thought about at all. And I find that whenever you have a conversation with a business owner, and this is why I'm drawn to this area, because I love entrepreneurs, I love business owners, they're my favorite people. They're going out and putting themselves on the line to go make something. And you know, when you sit down and talk to them, there's always something that they're not thinking about, because they're focused on doing what their business does. You know, they're focused on the technical aspects.
Oh, absolutely.
And
making money, if you will.
Well, making money, but specifically, you know, making things or providing services, the things that they're passionate about,
mm-hmm.
that cause them to go into business for themselves in the first place. And they're often blindsided, or can be blindsided, by financial and legal issues that they just don't consider, because it's not what they're passionate about. It's not what they care about. They're not MBAs or lawyers. You know, they're experts at doing what they do, but they need to get good advice from people who are looking at the things that would sneak up on them otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Then when people approach you, do they sometimes come in with their draft of a document for you to look at and say, this is what we think we want to do? Or do they say, draw up something, we need it?
Both.
Do they?
A lot of times they have no idea what they need, and so we have to go through the process of eliciting what it is that's important to them to make sure that that's protected. And then I, of course, have to add what I think should be important to them, mm-hmm. that they may not have thought about. But you know, sometimes it'll be, here's a document, what do you think of that?
And you, as nicely as you can, say, well, that's a good start, right?
Well, everything, even everything I do, can always be improved. And you know, that's why you know, it's great for lawyers to have somebody they can bounce things off of, because mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure you know this. That's what editing is all about, is taking somebody else's work and bringing in a fresh perspective. And yes, of course, when you're taking a document, a legal document that's been drafted by a layperson, hopefully a lawyer is going to be able to add some value to that document.
We sure do.
He's wasted totally. A lot of money on education.
Do you do intellectual property work at all?
I do a little bit. You know, things such as trademark registration and just the basics. It's mm-hmm. It's not been a core part of my practice.
Mm-hmm.
With regard to IP, mostly it's a matter of spotting issues and hooking up my clients with the people who really focus on that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do with a lot of my practice, is helping these businesses get put in touch with, you know, the right accountant, the right banker, the right, in some cases, intellectual property attorney, doing the things that I do well for them, and then facilitating their introduction to the professionals who can help them with the things that I don't necessarily focus my practice on.
So what part is writing in your business? Writing up all of these things?
Well, since my practice is the real thing that I'm passionate about is the litigation side. And writing in the legal industry, everything that's official is written
mm-hmm.
down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have lots of phone conversations and you have in-person meetings, but if something is official and for the record, it's in writing.
It's got to be in writing somewhere, correct?
Right. And that's one of the things I enjoy the most about practicing law, is how many different kinds of writing you get to do. I mean, things from internal memoranda, letters, friendly letters, not friendly letters.
You get to choose the right word, don't you?
Yes, you do. And pleadings, complaints, briefs, which are mm-hmm. really where I have the most fun, because it's where you get to go in depth into your legal arguments and really try to persuade an audience.
You talk about litigation. Do you actually go into courtrooms, into trials?
Yes, I do.
Whoa, you're a real lawyer then, huh?
It's fine. I mean, I'm not in court. I'm probably not in court as much as I would like.
Uh-huh.
But
that's why you and Mike Dunham are friends.
That is.
He was on my show a couple of months ago, and he's a friend, and he's written a book, and he loves to go into litigation.
Mike is a great guy, and anybody who has a landlord-tenant dispute, mm-hmm. I refer over to Mike.
He's the go-to guy.
He is.
So what are your litigation court cases like? When you're into court, what are you usually facing?
Well, I mean, it ranges from everything from a small contract dispute up to a personal injury litigation arising from a car accident. I've got a couple of cases going right now that are basically disputes between partners in mm-hmm. a business. My practice is, like I said, is focusing on the small business owners, but it's a general civil litigation practice in terms of what I really handle.
Do you oftentimes feel like you're David taking on Goliath? or are you Goliath?
Well, you know, I don't think I've ever been in a situation where the other side is, well, that's not true. I have been in a situation where the other side is, you know, mega monster corporations. But I've never gone into court in that situation, resolve those cases out of court. And the vast majority of disputes resolve themselves before you even go to a lawyer. And then the vast majority of disputes that go to a lawyer resolve themselves before they even result in a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And then the vast majority of lawsuits resolve themselves before they end up going to trial. I have yet to take on Goliath in the courtroom, but I'm looking forward to it.
But you're ready. You're ready.
Absolutely.
I like that. I like that self-assuredness. Do you have a book that you turn to give you direction or to take your mind away from wherever?
Oh, you know, giving me direction and a book that I think is great for me both as a small business owner because mm-hmm. ultimately I'm running a law practice, but mm-hmm. it's ultimately a small business and advising small business owners. I don't know if you've ever read The E-Myth.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, by Michael Gerber.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a terrific book that really challenges you to look outside of that passion zone, you know, the thing that got you into the business, the fact that a lawyer loves being a lawyer does not necessarily mean that the lawyer is going to be able to successfully run a law business.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that any small business owner loves doing that core functionality of the business doesn't mean he's going to translate into running a successful business. I think the E-Myth does a great job of opening your eyes to the things you need to be aware of and the competencies in yourself that you need to develop if you want to take that passion and turn it into a successful business.
Yeah, I remember when I read that, and it was just several months ago, what intrigued me about it was starting off when we're the employee of somebody and we think, wow, I could own this or I could create and we forget the fact that when you're an employee, you work 8-10 hours a day and go home. When you own it, there's no going home.
And you know, that has its ups and its downs.
When it comes to clients, do you deal with them more on the front end or the back end? Do you see small companies, they go, oh God, I have a problem now, I need a lawyer, or are they getting smarter and getting legal advice beforehand while they're starting their companies?
You know, every client I deal with always has this hesitation about hiring a lawyer and spending the money to hire a lawyer to do upfront contract reviews or policy reviews. But it always pays off. And up until now, the bulk of my involvement has been on the back end, once there's been a problem. And it's my initiative for this year to do a better job of getting in front of these companies when they still don't yet have a problem
mm-hmm.
and helping them head them off and helping put them on a sound footing.
Sounds good. I do feel like there's a negative connotation right now, especially with small businesses that don't have a lot of money, that if I make a phone call to a lawyer, that it's going to cost me $600. I'm going to be on the phone for 5 minutes. I'm going to have to pay $600. And I know that scares a lot of companies. How do you approach that with your business?
Well, again, that's part of this initiative that I'm trying to push in 2013 is set up these relationships with these companies where for a small retainer, call me anytime you want, ask me any question you want. If it develops into a real matter that involves litigation or involves more in-depth involvement, there might be an additional obviously there has mm-hmm. to be an additional fee agreement. But get into a relationship with these companies where they can say, every month I need to budget this amount, make a nice small amount depending on the size of the company. And this is what I'm going to spend on legal fees. It's going to be a tiny fraction of what you would spend to have in-house counsel, have somebody there in your building who can answer these questions, but hopefully you end up getting the same kind of result. Having somebody you can ask any question to and who will proactively go in and find the problems and help you fix them before they turn into crises.
And it'll end up saving you money in the long run.
That is definitely the goal. And in my experience, it just does.
So that's one of the, one of the things I learned. My dad was a small business person, and he had an attorney, and I watched. And he always told me he had it there as insurance. You know, like the question that Kevin asked, my dad always wanted, let's nip it in the bud before there's a bud really blossoming. And so with my company, I have an attorney that I turn to and run stuff by and feel the better for it. It's a lot safer that way.
And you know, you run into the problem of the seen versus the unseen. Mm-hmm. Because you see that cost that you're spending on the attorney, but you don't know what did you avoid, what problems did you not have.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess that there might be a little element of faith there. But I think that there's enough history out there to see the kinds of problems that do arise when you just go off and don't spend that time, make that investment on getting things properly reviewed. That I think people should believe that it's worth the investment.
Oh, absolutely. So folks want to be in contact with you, talk with you, learn more about your business, maybe even retain your services. What's the best way for them to be in contact?
They could go to my website, which is www.lawofficeofkpc.com for now. There's some upgrades planned for the year, but that's where we are right now. And on my office phone number, they could always call me at 678-389-9199.
Okay.
Set up an appointment. I'd love to talk to them. I always do free consultations with new clients and find out how I can help them before I start charging them $600 to call me.
Good to hear that.
There you go. Well, we're going to open up the mics now. Actually, they're always open, but we just don't let you know that. I'm hopeful that maybe you might have questions for each other. We can just get into a general dialogue. Anything looming in your mind, Ty?
Well, I have probably a statement. I believe that there are a lot of business development, marketing people who are performing tasks that lawyers should be doing, as opposed to small business owners sometimes look to business consultants or, you know, business marketing people for things that I believe they should go to an attorney for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, honestly, they're trying to expand their business. I don't think that the average business consultant understands employer relationship from a legal perspective. And when they come to me for things like that, I always refer them to an attorney. I stay away from things that I'm not good at, you know, because you're going to end up in court with that person. Like, no, I'm going to be on your list to sue next because I told you something that, you know, that's mm-hmm. probably incorrect, you know, or, you know, not up to date or what have you.
The old saying that free legal advice is some of the most expensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to add an amen to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. I think that, you know, there are, people talk about practicing law, a lot of people who haven't looked into it closely don't realize that practicing law it encompasses so much. There are literally hundreds of areas of specialty. And, you know, if you really want to dive down, you could say there are thousands of areas of mm-hmm. specific specialties. And it's impossible for a lawyer to become proficient in, you know, more than just a few of those, and certainly not possible for him to become proficient in all of them. And I'd suggest it's, yeah, probably impossible for a layperson, a non-lawyer, to give competent legal advice.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely recommend that in any area that smells like a legal issue, go see a lawyer. It usually ends up being a lot less expensive than making a mistake.
And my attorney is primarily an IP attorney, but within the firm with which he works, he's able to find people who can address the other issues that I have. And I have independent contractors, and I made sure that the contract that I had drawn up for them provides for the non-compete that you had mentioned earlier, Ken, when we started, and just is fair to everybody, but there's also a clear understanding of what works and what doesn't work. What was your reaction earlier when Ty was talking about the attorneys that she gets to write books or put pieces together? Did you, I can do that.
That's exactly, yeah. I think what she does to position her clients is great. And I think that's really the way to do it, rather than going out there and you know, being kind of a Glenn Gary, Glenn Ross salesman. to go out there and just say, hey, here's something I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you this book for free, and you can read this book. And when you're finished reading this book, you'll understand that I am truly an expert on this subject matter and that it would be valuable for you to work with me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best kind of marketing that you can do. And you know, I may be talking to Ty about that later on.
Oh, he's so sweet.
And I appreciate what you're saying there,
that's
Ken. And of course,
thank you, and
you as well, Ty, because we can help people, right? Collectively, we can do that, and it's not a daunting task. You know, in my own book on writing secrets, I talk about what I think is the overarching red ink syndrome that we all hold on to, and that is we remember from high school and college, turning in black and white papers and getting them back crimson. With all the corrections, and whether they did or didn't, that's the memory we have of them, and so we're afraid to write today. Well, nobody's going to be really critiquing you with a red ink pen anymore, but just helping you to be better, and we can tell our stories.
That's a good statement. Wayne Dyer had this cute little comment. Some woman, she wrote to him saying, I notice you've written all these books, but I think you need to go back to school for writing because in this particular book, you had so many dangling participles. He was like, I still don't know what the helicopter dangling participle is, you know? So, I mean, that's a great point. So people are really afraid of being criticized. That's why I always say to clients, write from your heart, mm-hmm. conversational, so that people know they're speaking to you and not your editor or, you know, say it from your own words and write it from your own words. Of course, your periods and your commas and all that good stuff, you need those people to, you know, make sure that's correct.
We throw those in to make you sound good.
There you go. Yeah. So, you know, but for the most part, that fear comes from judgment. I always say, don't judge and you'll never feel judged.
There you go.
You know, that's kind of my way of thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
How would you handle clients that Ty might have? What would, just visceral, you know, I'm not wanting to put you on the spot, but you know, she deals with people who have written books that showing kinds of insights and on business. What's your approach to a new client, let's say? How do you find them? How do they come to you?
Well, the overwhelming majority come to me through word of mouth and referrals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find networking to be far more useful than advertising. And I think part of that's just being a lawyer. If you want to go out and get a lawyer, are you going to go look in the Yellow Pages? Are you going to go, you know, look in the newspaper for a classified ad? Or are you going to ask your friends and the people whose opinions you trust, who should I hire? So you know, the overwhelming majority of my clients come from word-of-mouth referrals and referrals from previous clients. How do I handle mm-hmm. new clients? Well, the first thing you want to do is you want to sit down with the client and figure out what they believe the problem to be and make sure you understand how the problem that they've brought to you affects them. With businessmen, you're always talking about how much time it's costing them, how much money it's costing them, and the potential impact to their reputation and the reputation of their companies. So you want to make sure you understand those dimensions of the problem. Then you go through what have you tried in the past? You know, because the last thing you want to do is come in and propose a great solution and have your potential client say, yeah, we already did that and it didn't work. So get the history. But you know, when we're talking about you know, a client who's come with an acute problem, you know, then you want to propose. Here's what I propose to do about it, and then talk about what works for them and what doesn't work for them. For some of these small businesses that I consult with that don't yet have problems, it's really just a matter of comprehensively reviewing what they're trying to accomplish, you know, who they are, you know, how they are relating to each other if you have multiple principals in the same company, what it is they're trying to do, and then you know, making sure that I give them the tools that they need to run their business without getting into trouble and you know, make sure that they're on a sound footing in case they ever do have a problem.
Okay. Ty, listening to Ken's answer, do you ever get a client that you think, what was I thinking?
Just kidding. It's not because of them. It's because of me. You know, you have to know your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you're going out of the way for someone who you actually like. You're like, oh, I really like this person. And you're going overboard into areas that you should not tap into.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do for myself to keep myself focused with my clients, I have like an 8 to 10 questionnaire. On this, in the specific areas that I know I'm great at, and mm-hmm. try and stay focused in those areas. You know, so on that questionnaire, I would ask, have you ever published a book? Yes or no. Do you have a website? Yes or no. Yes, I have a website. Well, does that website, is it a pull marketing strategy site? You know, which means, are you able to pull in their information? You know, do you know, once that client completes your information, do you know what they actually do? You know, so I create a flow so that mm-hmm. I'm focused on what I'm going to need for them, or, you know, what I need to do for them, and to understand more about what they actually need and don't need. Because you'll spend so much time talking about things that they can't use, or, mm-hmm. you know, and people are all over the place. You know, they don't know. It's really because of social media. They're out there thinking, oh, I need this. I need Twitter. I need Facebook. I need Meetup. You know, no, you need to find your audience or your prospects and focus. You know, if most of your clients are on Meetup.com, where their business mm-hmm. groups, mm-hmm. stay on Meetup. You know, join 15 groups per day. Connect with the organizer, introduce yourself, and, you know, so I have a plan for that specific, you know, client, understanding what their goals are, or
okay.
they need a book, they need a website, they don't, or, you know, because you can really get lost with these people, because most of them, they don't know what they need. Mm-hmm. Kevin spoke about that earlier. They really don't know. And you may not know until you ask what they've done, as he said. What have you done in the past? What hasn't worked for you? So mm-hmm. that's pretty much why I create that little 8 or 10 questionnaire, just to keep me focused and keep them focused, so I'm not spending time in areas that are just, you know, they're not profitable for either of us.
Yeah, that's good for everybody.
Yeah.
Ken, do you get into situations where you, oops, I'm not the right attorney?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And it's always a learning experience for me to how to revise and improve my, I guess you'd call it, qualification of the client mm-hmm. before I engage. It's a difficult situation when you get into an engagement and you realize part of the way into it that it's just not a good fit between you and the client, or not a good fit between you and the matter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, withdrawing is not as easy as it could be. It's not just a matter of saying, okay, I'm done. But you know, there are times when you just have to get out of an engagement. I don't believe I've ever just gotten out of an engagement without saying, here's the person you should be talking to, mm-hmm. or here are three people you should talk to, give them a call. They can handle this better than I can. But yeah, it happens every once in a while.
Well,
or, you know, the client turns out to have some deep-seated okay. psychosis that wasn't evident in the first meeting, and okay. things really go downhill.
Well, just like every week, the clock is on us. It just sneaks up and says, time. Kevin, thank you for being here and keeping us on target, asking the questions.
No problem. Anytime. It's always a good show.
It was. Your questions are great. Did you learn a lot watching? Good, good, good. And a thanks to our guests for being here. I'm going to give you a chance to give your contact information. Ty Young of Ty Media Group, how do people be in touch with you?
Well, if you're looking for some fresh ideas, hey, give me a call. Well, actually, go to my website at www.tymediagroup.com, tymediagroup.com, and I'm always available to answer questions for your future.
Great. And Ken, I need an attorney.
Then you can come talk to me. My website, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
It's lawofficeofkpc.com, and you can send me an email from there, or fill out a contact form, or give me a call, and we'll set up an appointment and see what we can do.
Okay. Well, Right Here, Right Now is brought to you each week by Right Choice Services. You can learn more about Right Choice Services by going to the website, and that is www.right choiceservices.com. If you would like to be a guest on Right Here, Right Now, or make a recommendation for somebody to be on here, by all means, shoot me an email. Let me know. And you can send that email to me at Right Here, Right Now. No, it's whwnbusinessradiox@gmail.com. I welcome comments about our interviews, about our guests, and about our topics. In fact, if you'd like to be a guest, you can send me an email there. Right Here, Right Now broadcasts live every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and the show is available later in the day as an MP3 download. I encourage our listeners to contact us, send us an email, send an email to your friends, and invite them to listen in as well. And I invite you to come back next week, join us on Right Here, Right Now, where we consistently interview business leaders, entrepreneurs, and professionals, and how they use writing in their business, and we look at the power of the pen right here, right now.